We want to preach tonight on strength for the journey. Strength for the journey. And I hope and pray that in the next few minutes we can be a blessing to God's dear people. The Bible tells us that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And the Bible said, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect, over in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 23. I just want to share a few things tonight and get right out of the way on strength for the journey. First of all, tonight, as we introduce the message, I want to say that the strength for the journey is not to be found in the flesh, but it's to be found in the faith. It's not to be found in the flesh. This is just introducing the message, but it's to be found in the faith. You say, preacher, where did you get that? I want you to remember what Jesus said. Remember when he went to pray and he come back and he told his disciples, he said, I want you to pray. I want you to watch. And he came back and he found them asleep. Do you remember that? We're more like the disciples than we want to admit. Somebody help me tonight. I guarantee you, a lot of us in our Christian experience have been found sleepwalking. Amen. Not really aware of what's going on around us. But the Bible said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I don't know about you, but I think we need to be reminded of that from time to time, that our stinking flesh is weak. Amen. I didn't say yours. I said ours. Our flesh is weak. The Bible said, put you on the Lord Jesus. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In Philippians 3:3 said, we're the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I believe Paul goes on to say in that text that if there was anybody that could have confidence in the flesh, it would have been him. But beloved, we can't afford to put confidence in the flesh. The songwriter, Brother Ralph, you'll remember this song. It said, stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The next line said, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. How many's been down the road far enough to understand the arm of flesh will fail you? It will fail you every time. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Beloved, there's strength for the journey, but it's not to be found in the flesh, but rather in the faith. Let me give you, I think, four or five things here tonight quickly. Our strength, number one, comes as we trust the Lord. The Lord is the source of our strength. You say, preacher, why are you preaching this tonight? Because I may need it tomorrow. Maybe you don't do this, and maybe it's not healthy all the time. But when I hear about a five-month-old that Dad had in his arms that's gone out into eternity, I think about my grandbabies and how my heart would be tonight and how, Brother Rose, I would need strength tonight. Amen. I think it's good to put on somebody else's shoes once in a while. Amen. Now, I know that we can't feel it all if we've not been there. I understand that. But we ought to stop long enough to try to enter in and bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So our strength comes as we trust the Lord. He's the source of our strength. I want you to listen to this verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. But listen, the next verse, verse 4 said, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Sister Kim had it right. We got to remember that the Lord is our strength. I about come off the pew when I read that a while ago. We've got to remember that the Lord is our strength. The arm of flesh will fail you. Psalm 27:1 said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 46:1 said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Psalm 118:14 says, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation." Zechariah 4:6 said, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." The world looks at us and says, "You all need a crutch." I just want to say to the world, amen. Honey, it's more than a crutch. Hallelujah. He's carrying us tonight, amen, through the hills and through the valleys as well. Thank God that he is. As strength comes, as we trust the Lord. You remember the Apostle Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which," what's the next word? "Strengtheneth me." He is the source of our strength. I don't know about you tonight. I wonder sometimes, listen to me, how people make it. Lucas, that don't know the Lord, that don't have a Bible to read and don't have the Holy Spirit to comfort their heart. Amen. I wonder how they do it. But thank God we have him and he is the source of our strength. Now let me give you this tonight. If you'll read after some what I call old timers, I'm talking about, you read after people like Fanny Crosby. Read after people like Charles Haddon Spurgeon that suffered terribly with depression. You think a man preached like that, he wouldn't even know what depression was. I'm telling you, everybody's got their weakness. Would somebody help me tonight? Everybody's got something, amen, that they battle every day of their life. But you know what? I believe these old timers discovered their strength not only comes as we trust the Lord, but their strength comes as we worship the Lord. You say, "Preacher, where did you get that in the Bible?" Well, let's look here. Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 2. "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." How many believes that's what we ought to do? Amen. I'll tell you what, when you get down, when you get discouraged, when you get downtrodden, when you get downhearted, when you get depressed, you begin to lift him up. And I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll lift you up as you worship him. Many times in my life, about the only thing that's kept me going is Calvary. Whatever we're going through, if we could just crawl up to the foot of the old rugged cross with it and look up and see our Savior and worship him, it'll help us along the way. Our strength comes as we worship the Lord. Listen to these verses. Isaiah 12, verse 1. "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. And thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song." There's two passages here that I've shared tonight where strength and song go together. Strength and song. Strength and song. Worship him, and I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll lift you up. Amen. You start thanking him. Sister Linda came in today. She stepped out in the hall, and she came back in the waiting room. Sister Barbara was there, and another man was there. And she was weeping. And how many knows where I'm standing when that's going on? You understand what I mean? And the next thing she says was, "Everything's gone well. They've got it done. It's all gone well." Sister Jerry was standing back there a while ago telling me that her mommy's already out of the hospital, already over at Hell South, rejoicing in the goodness of God. They're telling them over there, "We've never seen anybody come over here that quick." Immediately, Brother Ralph, God impressed my heart. I told those that were standing around, I said, "We've asked God, we've asked God, we've begged God. Now let's bow our heads and thank God for what he's done." Oh, beloved friend, it's a blessing to be able to worship him. Now watch this. Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Verse 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Oh, beloved friend, our strength comes as we worship the Lord. See if you can find Nehemiah with me for just a moment. Let's look here just a moment at the book of Nehemiah and chapter number 8. I didn't print these verses out. I wanted to turn over. There were several of them. And I just want you to see what happens when God's people begin to worship. The Bible said in verse number 1, and all the people gathered themselves together. This is Nehemiah 8:1. As one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Ezra the priest, brought the law before the congregation, both the men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Let me just stop and say something tonight. That's a good prayer request for our church. That people would have ears to hear what the Spirit of God. I say this to you tonight. I say it in love, but when I look out sometimes, I see a lot of distraction. It wouldn't be a bad idea. Let me just go ahead and say this tonight. It wouldn't be a bad idea if the cell phones were turned off and left in mom and dad's pocketbook. You say, preacher, what difference does it? It could make the difference in somebody's eternity. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but it's the truth. I look here in the Word of God, they're fixing to get some strength. They're fixing to get some help because their ears are wide open. They're attentive to what's being read in front of them. The book of the law. Watch this now. The Bible said here, and those that could understand, Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Messiah. And his right hand, on his left hand, Padiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashab and Hashbadana and Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, with lifting up their hands. They bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. I'm going somewhere. I ain't there yet, but I'm going to get there in a minute. I'm telling you, we can receive strength from the Lord as we worship Him. You know, Brother Thurman, I'm not saying this to blow you up or build you up, but sometimes when you're teaching, I see you worshiping while you're teaching. You begin to thank God. I know He's answered prayers for me. I can tell you time and time again, it stirs your heart up. Amen. Listen to what the Bible said then. Go down in verse number 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. I love that verse right there. In other words, nobody left this building that day. Nobody left the street in front of the water gate scratching their head and saying, what did Ezra say? God put it right down there where they could get a hold of it. You say, preacher, what do you mean? They read the Word of God distinctly, the law of God distinctly, and they gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Not the Reader's Digest, the reading of the Word of God. And Nehemiah, which is of Tirzatha and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They were worshiping. They were rejoicing. You're going to find out later, they're repenting. Read chapter number 9. One fourth part of the day they confess their sins. Watch this now. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them whom nothing is prepared. For whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know why we ought to want to share the word of God with one another? Because that's the source of our strength. We ought to be sensitive as to what God wants us to do in helping others with the word of God. Our strength comes as we worship the Lord. Number 3, our strength comes as we wait on the Lord. This is just about a lost art in our generation. I'm not fussing at you. I'm as guilty as the next man. We're going too fast sometimes. Our strength comes, Brother Ralph, when we can be still and know that He's God. When we can wait on the Lord. You say, preacher, where's that in the Bible? Psalm 27:14 said, wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I believe that's what we need to do sometimes, don't you? Is wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31. Everybody knows this passage. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I believe God gives strength to those that are willing to wait upon the Lord. I don't know tonight what any of us will have to go through before we leave this world. But where my comfort comes from tonight is we won't have to go through it alone. Maybe I'm a fool tonight, but I believe whatever I face, not only will I never be alone because of the God that I serve, but I believe, Brother Steve, I'll never be alone because of God's people that I serve with. I went through it a while back. I guess 13, 14 years ago when I had that wreck, I can't tell you the people that were through my hospital room and through my living room when I was laying in a hospital bed with my back busted. You say, preacher, that's nothing. I tell you, it might be nothing till you're laying there and wanting to preach so bad you can't stand it. There's a preacher living in me. I want to preach. Amen. I love to preach the Word of God. I don't have to. I get to. It was weeks. It was not God's fault. I don't believe it was my fault. But when you're hurting so bad you can't think of your name, you can't read without a headache, I can remember one morning as I was meditating in the Word of God, God spoke to my heart. I don't remember what the message was, but God gave me a message. It had been weeks. You understand that I had to put this back brace on before I could even get out of the bed. That evening, a pastor called me and said, God spoke to my heart. Will you come and preach Sunday? I told him, I said, brother, had it not been for what God did this morning, I'd say no and not even think about it. But I have to believe that God gave it to me this morning to deliver Sunday morning. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Wait on the Lord. In His time, in His way, Coming down the road is Jesus. Wait on the Lord. Our strength comes as we wait on the Lord. And then, let me give you this tonight. I'm just about done. Okay, Miss Eve, I'm just about finished. When I say things like that, she said, "Oh, really? Are you cooking?" That's the way she is, Johnny. See what I have to put up with? Amen. Brownies get done. Preachers get finished. Is that how you would say? Biscuits get done. Preachers get finished. The way she's looking at me right now, I might be done after a while too. Amen. Getting hot in the kitchen, Brother Rose. Amen. Amen. Our strength comes as we wait on the Lord. Number four, our strength comes as we look for the Lord. How many's looking for Him tonight? I met a Christian family from West Virginia. The brother of the lady whose legs are broken up. We stood around and we had prayer in the waiting room. Did you know God's got young and scattered out all over the globe? Those people love the Lord. He told me that his sister, a couple years ago, had a mass in her brain. And the way it come up, he said, the foot that's broke up the worst is her good foot. After that mass in the brain, she was left weak on one side. And the one that's messed up, he said she was already dragging one foot. There's some things you don't explain, you don't understand. I know this. We're living in a sin-cursed world. And I know that as long as we're in this world, there'll be tears, there'll be sorrow, there'll be pain, there'll be death. But I'm just so glad I'm looking for the one that's going to take us out of this world. That'll strengthen your heart if you'll look unto Jesus. The Bible said the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's visit just a moment tonight with the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 13, he said, "We, having the same spirit of faith," how many believes that you and I tonight that are God's youngins have the same spirit of faith that the Apostle Paul had, that David had, that Abraham had when he left Ur of the Chaldees, when he took Isaac up on that mountain, that Daniel had when he said, "I'm not going to eat the king's meat. I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to do it." That Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego had. They said, "We're not going to bow to that image of gold." The same spirit of faith that Isaiah had. That John the Baptist had, Brother John, when he shook that finger in the hair and he said, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." That Peter had, that Thomas had. The Bible said the same spirit of faith. According as written, "I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." Knowing that, boy, this goes good right after Easter. Knowing that he which raised up Jesus, the Lord Jesus, shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. I said, "Brother Dennis, how old's your sister?" 59. How many can remember when you thought 59 was old? Chloe probably still does. You got old, Brother Larry, then you got older than dirt, don't you, Brother? Amen. Amen. Brother Larry really never has thanked me properly for teaching Colson that. How old's your papaw, Colson? Older than dirt. Amen. He'll find out. Dirt ages quickly, don't it, brother? Amen. Watch what he said here. knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. How many believes Paul was beaten? How many believes he was stoned? How many believes he was shipwrecked? How many believes he was perils of countrymen and perils of false among false brethren? The Apostle Paul didn't have a life of ease. Matter of fact, when God called him, he said, go tell him how great things he must suffer. I wonder what them TV evangelists do with that. I tell you what they do with it. They don't read it. And if they did read it, they don't believe it. If they believed it, they'd quit preaching that junk of preaching. You know what I'm talking about. The Bible said here, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. We might as well come to grips with that tonight. This outward man's perishing. He said, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. See, the strength we need is not in the flesh. The strength we need is that in that inward man. In the spirit. The Bible said, for our light affliction. That always blows my mind just to read it. Which is but for a moment. The Apostle Paul's not talking about a man cold. Yet he calls it light affliction. Which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here's the key. While we look not at the things which are seen. Beloved, if that's all you see and all I see, we'll get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Sister Carol, if we can turn our eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. How many believes that tonight? Our strength comes as we wait on the Lord, as we worship the Lord, as we look for the Lord. Our strength comes as we trust the Lord. Then I just want to give you this and I'm done. Our strength comes when we need it the most. You say, preacher, what do you mean? How many's ever heard the term dying grace? You know when God gives the believer dying grace? When the believer needs dying grace. He doesn't give it to us 10 years before or a year before. Or a month before. You remember Mom, Bobby, not even a day before. But when she needed it, God gave her grace. Daddy reached over and whispered to Mom, said, honey, I'll be okay. If you want to go on home, go ahead. I'll be there directly. Say whatever you want to. I'm talking seconds. Mom just checked on out so she could check on in to her new home. Amen. You say, preacher, our strength comes when we need it the most. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. How many believes God's grace is sufficient? He'll give it to you right on time. In the book of Hebrews, verse number 32 of chapter number 11, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Let me just say this tonight in closing. There are times, and I believe that's one of the things that's going to make heaven heaven. Can you imagine getting to heaven and understanding then all those things that God delivered you from that we don't even know about right now? How many believes I'm telling it right? Sometimes it's easy to see. My grandson, Aaron, he's been to church some here. Aaron was riding the tractor with his dad several years ago. I don't encourage this, and I'd say his dad will never do it again. Riding the tractor is one thing, but riding the tractor while you're bush hogging is another thing. And David was going up a slight incline, and they ran by a partial round bale of hay. It was kind of rotted, and Aaron was standing on the fender on the side of the tractor, and I'm not blaming Aaron or David. I'm just telling you what happened that God delivered them from. Aaron decided he would kick that bale of hay out of the way, that he would just kick it. And when he did, Brother Steve, the tractor tire pinned his foot and leg between the bale of hay and the tractor tire, threw Aaron immediately right down on his face. And David said when he looked down, he was going up the hill. He said when he looked down, he said all that was showing was the top of his shoulders and his head. And he mashed the clutch in and the tractor rolled back off of him. I say God delivered him from. That tractor weighed enough, Brother Houston. I'm not trying to be gross. He could have busted like a groundhog does in the road when you run over it. But he didn't. God spared him. He cracked his pelvis, Miss Eve. I think that was it, wasn't it? Cracked his pelvis. I'm telling you, there are times that God delivers from. But there are times that God delivers through. See, God is going to, just for sake of illustration, God is going to deliver the church from the great tribulation. But God is going to deliver Israel through the great tribulation. How many believes that's Bible? When somebody's already in the fire, like our brother in Houston, our prayer needs to be that God will deliver them through. Amen? That God will supply the strength for the journey to deliver them through. God can do either one. He's God. We're not. He's the potter. We're the clay. And when he gets finished with this old pot, just wait till you see. Amen. Just wait till you see. You say, preacher, what will it be like? Well, in a word, Jesus. That's good enough for me. Is that good enough for you? Know that one day we'll be like Jesus. I'm just glad you come tonight. I appreciate you coming. I really do. Appreciate you praying. How many knows that we need strength for the journey? Not you, we. Maybe tonight things are going really, really well where you live, in your heart, in your life. Can I encourage you to put this in the bank? Because before the sun comes up, the telephone can ring.
it could be a different story. We'll need strength for the journey. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for your people that have gathered here tonight. God, I pray that wherever these verses are heard, God, that you would give your young'uns strength for the journey. Lord, people are hurting tonight everywhere. Lord, the dear lady, while Sister Linda was getting the good news, the dear lady weeping as they come out and told her daughter wasn't going to make it. God, I'm glad that it ain't going to be long, and he that shall come will come and will be delivered permanently in our new home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.